Merry Christmas. I caught you by surprise. I realized that. Merry Christmas. Yeah. Merry Christmas. Yeah, it is. It's a wonderful time of year, isn't it? It's a time of anticipation, excitement. It's great to be together. My name is Jeff Good, and I have the privilege of being a pastor of Christ Community Church. And Will Cravens is the pastor of Bridge Community Church. We're friends. We love each other. We love time together. We love doing life together with Bridge and Christ Community Church in the same place. So if you're from Bridge, give a big round of praise God for Christ Community. If you're from Christ Community, let's give a big praise God for Bridge Community Church. Right. 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 We are brothers and sisters in Christ. It means the same Spirit flows through our souls. So we really are, in the deepest sense of the word, brothers and sisters. And so to be able to celebrate Christ together is a high privilege. And it's just going to be a deep joy for all of us, like it was last year. Last year was a great time together. I'm missing Will. He and Sandra and the family, they're all in Uruguay. If you're not familiar with that, that's why he's not here tonight, so we're looking forward to having them back 30th, I think they get back. So I've been asked just to remind us all, one, Christ Community will not have a service tomorrow, neither will Bridge, but we will both have services on Sunday, January 1. Ours will be at the 10 o'clock hour, and Bridge, yours is at the regular time, too, at 5 p.m. on New Year's Day. So we'll let you know that. The other thing, most important, we wanted to let you know, the offering boxes are back there. Clearly marked, Bridge, Christ Community. Be careful. Anything that goes in either box stays in either box. And do you know how close a C it looks like to a B? Perry, our chairman, said it, if the Bridge CCC gets in the chariot in the Christ Community box, we're thinking that looks like a C to me. So you just make sure that the... It's all the Lord's money, but it's back there. Don't forget that. Kids, you're supposed to come on down now. Come on down. We're going to do the Advent wreath. Mason, you can if you want. You don't have to. You can stay right there. But come on down if you want to come down. We're going to do the Advent wreath. We're going to walk through the Advent wreath for just a few minutes this evening. It's good to see you guys. Yeah, you can come down. There's a lot of chairs right on the front. Emmeline, did you bring my pancakes? No. Emmeline is supposed to bring me pancakes whenever she sees me, but she has neglected again tonight. So maybe next time, Emmeline. So you can do that. Are you guys excited about Christmas Eve? Is this exciting time or not? It is. Big time. I want to know, how many of you get to open a present tonight? Does anybody get to open one tonight? Well, we got to work on this. This is the way you do things. You open one on Christmas Eve. So anyway, we look forward to this big time. But it's so exciting to think about Christmas Day. And the Advent wreath gives us a bunch of reasons to think about why we can be so excited that Jesus Christ came as a baby and why he lived and then he died for us and then he's coming back again, because he rose from the dead. So we celebrate all of this. And the first thing that the Advent wreath tells us is the green wreath right here tells us that the life that Jesus gives us never, ever ends. It's eternal life. Evergreen, the green reminds us it's always going to be there. His life never ends. Now, how many of you are excited that you started Christmas break? Very excited. I have some bad news for you. January 3rd is going to come. Sorry. I'm very sorry. But January 3rd is going to come. As excited as we are about these breaks, some good things in our life, it's going to end one day. January 3rd is going to come and you're going back. Yeah, Natalie, tears are coming. Sorry for that. But the wreath reminds us that God's life, when he gives it to us through Jesus Christ, it never, ever ends. Death can't even stop it. Death is just like a transition from this life to being with Jesus face to face. So even death can't stop life, eternal life from growing in our lives. Do you see how many candles are here? This one's real short, but do you know how many candles? I'll give you a hint. Yes, 4. That reminds us that there were 400 years in between the last prophet in the Old Testament and when Jesus came. You know what happened in those 400 years? It was really quiet and silent. And that really frustrated some people because they were thinking God should be speaking. But he was quiet and it was silent. And that 400 years of silence was broken by a baby's cry. Jesus was born and God's silence stopped. Some people are in a period of silence right now. They want God to speak and they don't feel like he is. And that's a really hard place to be when you think you want God to be saying something to you and he's not. So these four candles remind us that hang in there. If you're in a place of silence, if you're in a place of wanting God to speak and you're just feeling like he's just not saying anything, hang in there. He will speak. That silence will be broken, sometimes by a baby's cry. So hang in there. Be hopeful. So we have four candles. My nephew, call him my nephson, he's coming up here. Cody's going to come up and read something. The first candle that we light, by the way, we didn't make this up. This was started by followers of Jesus in the country of Germany hundreds of years ago. Hundreds of years, Christians, followers of Jesus, have been doing this Advent wreath. So the first candle is a prophecy candle. First candle reminds us that Jesus is an example of God keeping his word. Prophecy. Those are the things that the prophets said would happen in the Old Testament, and sure enough, they came to be. Over 300. Can you imagine that? Over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament all came true. And one of them ties right. So anyway, moving ahead a little fast. Let me slow down. Remember what Mr. Bill said? Relax. I need to relax. Slow down. All right. One of the things that prophecy helps us remember is God is trustworthy. He always keeps his word. Some people have a real hard time because there's people in their life that they know and they love and they trust. And they said, I'm going to do this. You can count on it. And they didn't do it. And that really hurts. That's really hard to handle. And some people wrestle with God like that. But the prophecy candle reminds us that we can trust God. He always keeps his promises. He never breaks his promises. But one of the most important prophecies of those 300 is found in Micah chapter 5. Listen to this. This was written 700 years before Jesus was born. What Cody's going to read was written 700 years before Jesus was actually born. But listen to it.
But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. We will raise against them seven shepherds, even eight commanders.
Did you catch that? 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet knew Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. How do you explain that other than God being faithful and trustworthy? And he's in control. So if he says the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem 700 years before it happens, it's going to happen. And sure enough, it did. And Bethlehem reminds us that Jesus is the bread of life. Bethlehem means house of bread. Look at this picture that Brian's going to put up. Do you recognize that picture, those rolls? Does anybody? We're doing a little, yes. What's the restaurant? Bertucci's. Here's some unabashed something, whatever. Some of our favorite rolls are these rolls from Bertucci's. Sometimes they come out, they're so hot that they burn your fingers. But then you break it open and you see that little bit of oil. How many of you like to do that? Dip it in the oil and you eat it. And sometimes we even ask for a few extra in the bag and we take them home. We tell them, no, we're taking them home. We're not lying. We're not trying to. We say, can we have a few more to take them? You know why we want to take them home? Because we eat one of those rolls and then we want another, and then we get hungry, and we have to keep eating rolls. That's why I wear bigger shirts. That's one of the reasons why. The shirt's going to come into play in just a second. But the point of this is that Jesus, because he's the bread of life, he will never wear out. We don't have to wait for another Jesus. We don't need another Jesus. Jesus will be the bread of life. And when we have him in our lives, he satisfies us. And we don't have to get hungry again. Jesus is the bread of life. And when we trust him and say yes to him, he fills our heart like no one else can. And he gives us a peace and a hope like no one else can. Because he alone is the bread of life. So this third candle is the shepherd's candle. And Cody's going to read from Luke's gospel about the shepherds.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night.
You know what's so special about the fact that the angels came to the shepherds is because that reminds us that there is nobody on the outside of God's love. Shepherds were the ones that were kind of outcasts. They were very normal. People didn't like shepherds really back in the day. They kept care of like dirty sheep and all, and they didn't really like them. So that's why they were out in the fields. So the fact that the angels came to shepherds reminds you and me that we are never outside of God's love for us. He loves the outsiders. There's not like a special inside group that God only loves. And you have to be really right and good to be on that inside group. And if you mess up or make a mistake, then all of a sudden you're on the outside and God doesn't love you anymore. The shepherd's candles remind us that is not true. We make mistakes. We're not always right. Sometimes we don't feel right about what we're doing. But the shepherd's candles remind us that we are always loved by God. We are never on the fringe. We're never on the outside. He loves us and his love extends to that. So there's nobody in this room that has messed up so bad or so many times that God's love does not extend to you. And there's nobody in this room that should be thinking that somehow God's love stops here and I'm on the outside. I'm on the fringe. I'm on the outside. Shepherd's candle reminds us, no way. No way. Shepherds remind us that God loves even the outsiders, the fringe people. It doesn't matter. He loves them deeply. Jesus would have died for one shepherd. He loves them so much. So the shepherd's candle then, the shepherds were listening to a group of people. First just one, and then a whole group of angels. So the last candle, the fourth candle, is the angel's candle. Listen to what the angels said.
An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people."
Wow. That one phrase makes me stop almost every time I read that story in that Bible. It says, "Do not be afraid." That's what the angel said to the shepherds. You don't have to be afraid. Jesus can come and help you with all of your fears. He can really help you not be afraid. I wear this tie on purpose most every Christmas Eve because a niece of ours was very, very sick one time years ago, and she designed this tie. And she was in a Sunday school class, and they were talking about what you're afraid of. And all the kids were saying different things that they were afraid of. They were afraid of the dark, and they were afraid of going to school. They were afraid of this. They were afraid of that. And one of them said, "I'm afraid of dying." Well, Nicole wasn't paying attention at that point in time. Have you ever not paid attention in Sunday school? Yeah, a couple times. Well, Nicole wasn't paying attention, and as the story goes, her teacher tells her head whipped around at that point in time when somebody said, "I'm afraid of dying," and she was 12 years old at the time, and she whipped her head around and said, "I'm not afraid of dying," because she knew Jesus, and there was no more fear in Nicole's heart of dying. And she just had, and when we know Jesus, the angel's candle can remind us that we don't have to be afraid of dying at all, because it's just more life after that. And Nicole knew that. So, but listen to some other messages of the angels.
"Today, in the house or in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them."
One of the most important words in that little message of the angels to the shepherds was peace. Peace. One of the things that Jesus brings to us when he comes is peace. And the Old Testament word for peace is a wonderful word, shalom. Can you say that? Say that with me one time real quick. Shalom. It just has a sense of peace. And what that means is sometimes that everything doesn't settle down, but we just know that God's going to bring the pieces together. It means it's completeness. Sometimes you hear about all kinds of stuff in the world that is very unsettling. It's not easy to hear about some of what happens in the world, and we get very troubled inside. And that's when we need to remember the angel's candle and what they said to the shepherds is there is going to be peace. See, Jesus came once, the first time as a baby. Do you know how he's going to come back a second time? As the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he's going to bring absolute peace when he comes. And in the in-between time, it's like that world's kind of crashing in on our world, and he's bringing peace little by little in each of our hearts. He's going to give us peace, and you can know that. Even if things don't look very peaceful in your eyes, you can know in your heart that peace is coming one day. So hang in there. But then we light the last candle. It's in the center. What's the name of this candle? The Christ candle. And you always light the Christ candle on Christmas Eve. That's the special thing about Christmas Eve services, is you light the Christ candle. A couple things about the Christ candle. How is it bigger or smaller than the others? Yeah. And Jesus is supposed to be the biggest in our lives, the center, the highest place. Jesus is there. He's in the middle. Do you remember at one point we, in our minds, thought that the earth was the center? Have you ever heard that? That we thought that the earth was the center of the universe and all the planets and everything revolved around the earth? People believe that. They really thought that was true. In fact, you really got in big trouble if you began to think, well, maybe the earth isn't the center of the universe. Maybe it is the sun. And people didn't like that, but we now know that the sun is the center of the universe. See, that's what goes on in some to our hearts. Sometimes we think we're the center of the universe. Everything revolves around us. And the Christ candle reminds us, no. No, Christ is the one. A Copernican revolution needs to happen in some of our own hearts. That we're not the center. Jesus Christ is. Notice the color. What's the color of the candle? It's white. Yeah, easy question. Wish all your questions at school were this easy. It's white for a couple of reasons. A couple very important. One is it's pure. Let me ask you this. Do you know, did Jesus ever sin? No. Not once. Not even a teeny, itsy-bitsy, little teeny sin. Not once. He was perfectly pure, and that's the color of white. Do you notice anything about my pocket on this shirt? It's white, but do you see anything else? Yeah, my pen is in it, but what else? Do you see? What's down there? You have to look really hard. You know what I did one time? I forgot to close my pen when I put a pen in my pocket. Do you see it? Yep. There's a little secret. My wife, Cindy, is not here. She wouldn't let me get out of the house if she knew I was wearing this shirt. So she was upstairs. I put the shirt on because I remembered this spot. And I wanted you to see this teeny little spot. The shirt looks pretty white, doesn't it, and pure? But it's not. It's not absolutely pure. There's a teeny little blue mark down here. Jesus doesn't have a teeny little blue mark. There is no sin in Jesus. But there are lots of teeny little blue marks in our lives. We do it all the time. That's why Jesus had to come as a lamb who would die on the cross for our sins, because he paid for our sins. There's no teeny weeny little blue marks in Jesus' life, but there is in ours. And that's why Jesus needed to come and pay for our sins. And that's what he did. And that's the importance of the white candle. But listen to this description of Jesus in the last book of the Bible. Remember he came as a baby? This is another description of Jesus in the last book of the Bible.
I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades."
We see a lot of pictures of Jesus as a baby at this time of the year. I think it's important for us to remember that Jesus didn't stay a baby. He grew, he died on the cross for our sins, he rose again on Easter Sunday morning, and he's coming back. And what Cody just described is what Jesus is going to look like when he comes back. An amazing story. But then I love the description of Jesus. He was big and powerful and strong, but then he put his hand on John and he said, "Don't be afraid." And Jesus can do the same thing. One of the wisest responses to Jesus, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is another reason why the candle is white. If you're in a battle and you realize you need to surrender, what color flag do you wave? It's another good reminder that when we see Jesus, one of our first thoughts was, "I surrender. I surrender. You take my life. I give up. I surrender. You come in and take control." And a friend of mine, Mike Farron, he's one of the leaders here at Bridge Community Church. Mike said to Jesus, I surrender. And Mike's going to come and tell you some of the differences of what happens when you surrender.
Hello, it's good to see your faces. I know some of you. If not, I'm Mike Farron. I go with Bridge Community Church. I'm going to introduce you to a couple of things in my life, a couple people, a couple of things. One would be Myron and Jerry, Maybell and, I'm blanking on my grandparents' names, Maybell and John, Bill and Donna. I have to get this out. And just bear with me, I will loop around and this will all make a connection. An elementary school at Charlotte Avenue, an elementary teacher, Coach Sully, Jeremy Brenton Travis, Danielle, that's an easy one. That's my wife. LinkedIn, Orbital ATK, and Bridge and Christ Community Church. So how am I standing here in front of you? What does this all mean? Someone who I started my life in Michigan, went to New Hampshire, and then Minnesota, and 5 years ago we moved here. So how am I even standing here? If you ask my elementary teachers, they would laugh. They'd be like, how is Mike Farron standing with a microphone in Loudoun County? And it has nothing to do with me. I grew up in a home. I was blessed to have grandparents that grew up in a Christian home. So the connection with my grandparents, why they are mentioned is because I was blessed to have a household that that was Christ-centered and understood that there was a more important kingdom than what we have here on earth. My parents, they helped me when I was about 7 or 8, realize that I had fallen short and there was nothing I could do. But there was one thing that nothing I could do on my own, but there was one thing I could do, and that would be to give my heart up to Christ, ask him to come into my heart, and trust him. Coach Sully, right? I played sports underneath this shape of a body. There used to be an athlete. And somehow, I went to a school, after high school, I went to a school in Minnesota, and I have no idea how I got there, but I think that I actually had a coach who was not a Christian, found out where I was going. He took an interest in me for some reason. I have no idea why, but I got a call from the football coach just of a Division III school, and I went out there. And what a blessing that was, because at that point in time, my experience with, especially guys, Christian guys, wasn't great. I didn't really meet people who were on fire for God. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a passion. There was other things that was, they just weren't like me. And that's Brent, Travis, or Jeremy, Brent, and Travis. Those are 4 buddies of mine who showed me that you can actually have a passion and have a ton of fun. And we continue to have fun with all of our families, and they're still back in Minnesota. And then I got a sheet. Okay, so then I'm in college, and I actually, Jeff mentioned B's and C's for our offering, right? Well, I got some of those in my report cards. I did not get the A's, I got others. So I was not a great student. So that's why I ask, well, why am I standing here? There's nothing of me that I've done that puts me here to talk to you, other than trusting him. And that's when I met this, I was actually right next to the copy center at school, and there was this girl who was wearing these overalls, and she had like these, what do you call those things? The straps, the suspenders. Very creative woman that I know now, but she caught my eye. I was not interested in marriage, and I even had a bet with my high school buddy that he'd be the one driving the caravan with the 4 kids, and I would be single. And if you know anything about me and my friend, it's the exact opposite, except we have a big van. So at that point in time, I had failed out of college my freshman year. I enjoyed myself too much. I had a lot of fun with my friends. And that was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because I was able to go back another year, and I met a very young girl who was Danielle, who later became my wife. So through that, I'm going to fast forward to I'm sitting in an office, and LinkedIn comes into play. Some recruiter calls me and says, hey, we have an opportunity in Northern Virginia. I have no idea what that means. And I got into defense contracting, which some people do out here. And at that point in time, the opportunity arose where we have four kids now. I am married to a native Minnesotan. Her family is all there. And we're like, okay, what are we going to do? And that was one of the looking back, that was one of the times that stretched our family more than any time. Let me get back to this. That's why notes are good. Okay, so we take the job, and with all my grades that I never got, the one thing that my elementary teacher that I still do not know to this day her name, she taught me how to live with a dyslexia. But the tests, they don't ever let me show that. So it's always been a challenge for me to be able to show, hey, I can do that, and be an interest. So my point in all this is what do all of these people that I've mentioned, or things, what do they have in common? I had nothing to do with them. They were all part of something else. And that takes, when you have a learning disability, or you know that you're not as good as some of the other people, it's actually kind of easy to trust, because you have to. And that is what I was able to do, was I was able to trust until this time in my life to get here. I was able to trust that there is a greater power that influences your day. And I invite you to trust it. If you are in kindergarten, if you are in college, if you are graduated, if you have a PhD, if you are a scientist, and that is the part that I would love to be able to bring back to my elementary school teachers, is to say, I work with rocket scientists and PhDs. They'd be like, mm-mm. And then with Bridge and Christ Community Church, that's where we are right now, and that's really the future, is what better way than to be able to be challenged by the leaders of our churches and to be able to say that tomorrow we get to celebrate this baby that is like any other man. And I invite you to walk a journey with him and trust him.
Let's thank you to Mike. Yes. One of the first things that shows up when somebody starts to walk with Jesus and Jesus becomes a pretty important part of their life is they begin to take on Jesus, who was a servant. And Mike and Danielle, one of the things I have seen over the years that we've been able to be friends here and live in life together is they're servants. They just love to serve. Even if it's getting food, whatever it takes, they just love to serve. And so you know Mike has surrendered to Jesus. Danielle has surrendered to Jesus because they just love. They love to serve. Well, we're going to finish with one of my favorite parts of Christmas Eve right now. So you can go back to your seats right now, back to your folks, because we're going to light some candles. And we want you very close to your parents when we start to do that. We get to close our time with singing Silent Night. And we started intentionally from the Christ candle as a reminder that Jesus is the light of the world. And if we know him, we have the opportunity and the privilege of sharing Jesus, oftentimes without words, but many times with words, about him being the light of the world, the difference of our lives. There's no mistake. It's no mistake that you're here tonight. Our God, the God we serve, is a God of design. He's a God of purpose. It's no mistake you're here tonight. So I encourage you just to keep thinking, why in the world would the God of all creation call me to this place tonight to hear these words, to sing these songs, to reflect on these thoughts? Why? I encourage you to ask the Lord what that is and then live that purpose out. One of them, no questions, is to pass on through love and care and words the light and the love of Jesus Christ. So let's do that as we come. And I'm going to ask Robert coming forward. Carol, please come forward. They'll start on both sides, and you can start from the center. Thank you. And they'll just walk back both aisles, and you just pass your light one to the other.